Hi everybody, welcome to week two, your obstacle. And I'm going to quickly reframe that, but I know that we can all relate to that feeling of having an obstacle in our path, especially when we're looking at embodying our calling more fully. So the reframe has to do with your sacred wound and your sacred gift. And again, I'm still here in my beautiful forest and sitting on a rock, and rocks in indigenous understanding are those who are the story keepers, the ones who speak to us and hold the story of the earth. They've been here and they've seen it all. And so as I sit here with my feet on the ground and sitting on this rock and surrounded by a lot of beautiful redwoods, again, I'm hoping to tap into that kind of nonlinear place and see what wants to arise and what wants to be shared with you today about the sacred wound and the sacred gift and how to help you to start to explore that as something not to get rid of, but as something that actually holds deep, deep value and actually is part of the source of your being able to offer your gifts in the world. Because where we are wounded, we are also gifted. And where we are wounded, when we do the work of healing and transformation, we develop what Michael Mead, mythologist and storyteller, calls dark wisdom. We develop a dark wisdom, and only we can share the wisdom from our particular life story that we carry, and that hopefully will touch other people who need that same dark wisdom. So, as usual, I'm going to take a breath and see what wants to be said today. So, my inner ear is saying, share your story, so I'm going to listen to that. Speech of the soul, speaking through the inner ear. And my story in terms of sacred wound and sacred gift, what wants to be said today. I spoke a little bit about last week about being mute and invisible and having to step into visibility and being vocal in order to really step into my calling. I'm going to share, let's see. So I was a massage therapist and for 15 years, and it wasn't until I looked back upon that in hindsight and saw that that profession actually supported my woundedness. Although it was a great profession, I was really good at it. The whole time I actually got to be invisible and mute because people would be on the table and no one had to look at me. Half the time they were face down and we didn't really need to talk, and so that was very comfortable for me. At one point, after getting chronic fatigue, I needed to find my way to a profession or an aspect of body work that wasn't going to take as much energy, and I went to a cranial sacral teacher who happened to teach through a shamanic perspective. And once I found that container, a lot opened for me, and I realized that I had a deep, deep affinity for indigenous wisdom and healing arts in that realm. And I'm going to kind of cut this story short. I often tell it in a little bit more detail, but I realized that ritual in particular was something that I had a gift for and that I really loved. And so I started teaching or leading a ritual once a month at Open Secret Bookstore in San Rafael. And every time before I went to teach, I would be a complete mess. And my husband can attest to that. I would usually be in tears. I would be very, very frightened that I couldn't do this. I just was too hard. I will never forget one night I was in bed and my chest was filled with so much terror that I just asked myself, why in God's name am I doing this to myself? This is not worth it. This is self-torture. It's just not worth it. And despite that terror and despite that discomfort, I would just keep going. And so I'd go, and every single time, it was an ecstatic experience. I absolutely came alive doing this work. And so here I was with my gift and my wound. They couldn't get any closer. And this terror really followed me for years. And I'll tell you what broke the terror. And it doesn't mean I don't get scared at new thresholds, but what broke the terror, one was a really good, solid therapy container, but what aspect of that that really helped was looking at shame and looking at my need to be perfect. And when I would show up in that teacher role or guide role, I was so contracted because I was terrified that someone would see how much shame was at my center. And so I stepped straight into the shaman archetype and role, and I left my personal self as far away as possible. And I didn't make really any real human contact. I just stepped into this role, did my work, and that's the way I kept myself safe for a long time, is to just keep this personal self outside, because that personal self felt so vulnerable and so filled with shame. Eventually, after doing my dissertation on this very topic, I was able to bring my Women's Courage Circle into being, and it actually got a lot easier once I had really transmuted a lot of the shame. So I encourage all of you, if shame is one of the places or fear that stops you, that there's a wealth of your own life force and your own creativity on the other side of that. So I know sometimes it can feel like it's never going to end and there's no way around it and there's no way through it, but shame can be transmuted and so can terror. And I am a living testament to that. So, and maybe it's something else that's stopping you. In my research, the main things that I saw were the fear and the shame. There was also unexpressed grief, and especially when people were not able to express that grief in community, that they were not able to let it be held and seen by others. That seemed to be a stumbling block, that when people were allowed themselves to grieve, that like Clarissa Pinkola Estes talks about, grief allows your boat, you know, it's the water that carries your boat to your next place. So let the tears fall, let the grief happen, let yourself be moved to your next place. The dry land won't get you there. You've got to let the tears be there, and the tears are transformative, and they're good. They're good. So, and then the other is unexpressed anger. Anger is our fire. Anger is our creativity. Anger is our passion. Or it's in the same realm. It's in the fire realm. And so if we've got our cap on anger, that also puts a cap on our creativity. That also puts a cap on our passion. So again, find a safe way, a safe place, whether it's out in nature, whether it's with a coach, a therapist, a friend, a ritual, whatever container you feel good in, or through expressive arts at home with your own pastels and paper, let the fire out, vocalize it, move it, draw it, write it. So these are the ways that we move from obstacle, from wounding to gifts, because when we start letting the energies that are stuck in what's kind of dryly referred to as affective barriers in psychology, the emotional blockages, then our life force starts to move. And once our life force is freed, then creativity is freed. And then we get to do what we're best at and what we're made for, which is, again, like just following the speech of the soul. Once the affects, once the emotions start to move, the imagination is freed up, and we can start listening. What is our soul saying? Where is it wanting to take us? So I think that's my main message to you here is, you know, this takes a lot of body-centered awareness, kind of what's stuck? What do you feel in your body? Do you feel a contraction in your throat? Are there things you haven't said? Do you feel a lot of tension in your back and your muscles? Is there, anger kind of like stored in your back that you keep pushing back? Is your heart heavy with grief? Is your jaw clenched with anger, or your lips, what is that word, pursed with grief or anger? What's living in your body? So that's my invitation to you. And in terms of the gift, that's really the journey. You know, once we free this up, we'll start to know what the gift is from that. But we can't really know it until we start freeing up some of the wounded places and some of the stuck places. And here I'm going to take a pause and see if there's anything else that wants to be said. Just to be gentle with yourself. These are wounded children we have inside. They're many, many different ages. Sometimes it's an infant that didn't get held. Sometimes it's a teenager that wasn't really supported in autonomy. You know, there are different ages that we get stuck at sometimes that need to be raised. We need to kind of reparent these places. And so I just want to invite you to be gentle with yourself. Be the best parent and loving mother and supportive father and even limit-setting father, or at least masculine energy. It doesn't have to be the father or feminine energy for these parts. So it's important that we're able to give ourselves that kind of internal holding. Another breath. I think that's it for this topic for today. Okay, so enjoy your journaling and the interview with Annie Bloom. Take good care of yourselves.